just continue to give their lives for your purpose. I pray that in these next few moments today, God, you'll use everything that we do to bring honor and glory to your name. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. So while we were gone this week, actually almost a week to this moment right here, a very national figure, Kobe Bryant, his daughter, seven other people lost their lives in a helicopter accident. And the reality of it is that every day people are dying, people are losing their lives some way or another. But when it's family or somebody that we're very acquainted with, it touches us in a different level. And I've heard all week, listening how people, some made comments, statements about some type of connection that they had with Kobe Bryant. Maybe had never met him before, but just his influence on their lives. This was a week when it gripped the heart of dads. They went home and they hugged their kids, hugged their daughters, hugged their wives, hugged their family, embraced one another. I had learned that before Kobe and his daughter had gotten on that helicopter that they went to church that morning and both partook in communion together. And even through all that, the phrase hashtag girl dad was formed this week, and tens of thousands of pictures of dads hugging their daughters were put on social media. I think it was just a great end of an expression of a tragedy that took place and just captured the attention of our nation and really the world. And as I watched that and as we were away, man, I just felt the Lord just speaking to me, and I'm writing these things down, and lessons that we can learn from moments like these. Because no moment is wasted in our lives, only if we choose to allow it to be wasted. Lessons that we can learn from it, or lessons that you and I can be, better yet, reminded of. Isn't that the way it is many times? We need to be reminded of things. We know if you're a dad, you know what you need to do to be a great dad or great husband, great mom, a great wife. You know it. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that, though. And so I was pondering that, and I was thinking, and I felt the Lord just begin to download some things on me. And one of the things was one of the last points I made last week is that you and I need to learn to celebrate life now. Don't wait until it's too late, but begin to celebrate it right now. And I'm not talking about acting foolish. I'm not talking about, like some people do today, just go out and just, you know, turn all the safety switches off and act foolish. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about learning to enjoy the moment or the moments that God gives us in our lives. The psalmist says in Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And not that we can put a number, and not that we know how many days that we have, but to look at every day with a level of importance and a level of understanding that our days, when we were born with an end date in sight. And it's different for every one of us. There's no cookie cutter life that you can pattern yourself and say, well, I'm going to live this long. Well, God bless you if you think that. No man knows that moment and that time, but you can live a life with a greater purpose and a greater design than we have ever had. Not taking things or people for granted. Listen to this now. This is so important. To learn to value loved ones, value family, value friends. Put a value on that, how important that they are. Don't walk so fast through life that you don't have time to pause and show love to somebody that maybe you don't even anticipate that you're going to do. And you know what I've learned in life? Is that the moments that God gives me that I have no idea that he's going to do something, that's when he reveals himself the greatest. We were on our way to our grandson Gabe's basketball game on Friday night. And I told Patty, I said, honey, I got to stop and get a cup of coffee. I'm dragging a little bit. Pull in to the coffee place and walk in there, tell the lady what I want. She knows what I want. She comes in, says, you want a small coffee with a shot of espresso in a medium cup. Yep, that's it. She's pouring, she's getting the coffee, and I says, and I just said, how's your day? And all of a sudden, she hides her face behind some of the equipment. And I looked around the corner, and down her face, there's tears running down from her eyes. And I looked to her, and I said, honey, what's wrong? I'm old enough, I can call people honey all I want now. And she begins to speak to me right there. I'm going to Gabe's basketball. It's important to me. I want to go and see my kids and be around them. And right in that moment, God stops me. I want you to just be there. I didn't preach to her. I didn't have to tell her a sermon. I didn't have to know what she was feeling or what she was going through. But to stop in a moment and say, you're going to make it. You're going to get through this. God's got your back. I fist bumped her. She wiped her tears. And like I was a psychologist at a university, she said, thank you so much for your time. I didn't say nothing. I didn't do nothing. I didn't have to come up with an answer. But to pause in a moment to show somebody love that wasn't expecting it, but God, he turns our moments into golden opportunities when we allow him to. Letting people know that they're loved, not by a lot of words, but by actions. Just by showing somebody that. And being kind to people. How about that? How about that for a new notion? How about that for a new lifestyle? Just to be kind to people. To show kindness to others. People that you don't even know. This is something that I was reminded of. Psalm 144, verse 15 says, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Not miserable, not looking like we've been dipped in vinegar, like we're, you know, swigging down lemon juice. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Is there any happy people in the house of God today? My brothers and my sisters, I want to remind you to learn to celebrate those moments. Also learn to live for God. Not someday, but begin right now. And a lot of people say, well, how do I do that? You have to do what he tells you to. You have to follow what he says to do through his word, through fellowshipping with other believers. And it doesn't mean that you and I will always get it right every time. But we can move towards that direction. We can begin to make those distinctions and those decisions that will move us into the direction that he wants us to go by learning to love one another, which is not something, again, that you just read about and talk about, but it's something that you and I learn to do. Amen. Are you listening to me today? You learn to do that. And even in the midst of it, so sometimes you got to learn, you have to relearn that. Has anybody ever had to relearn how to love others? I do, because you know why? Because people can be tough. They can be mean. They can be rough on you. People can be harsh and be critical and be judgmental. People, for some reason, like Garrett said today, he went into those services and hundreds of thousands of people there. But yeah, he goes in not with an attitude that he's going to see miracles. He goes in with an attitude, and it's something that you and I are born with this critical side to us. And my brothers and my sisters, if you give in to that, you become that. Listen to what Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:23. He said, don't have anything to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You want to stay out of it? You want to stay above it? You want to learn to love others? Don't be involved. He said, you know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome. That's not just me. That's you. That's all of us. If you're just quarrelsome, you got to go to the cross again. He said, the servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to just a few? Read that. Everyone. Even when they are not nice to you. Boy, thank you, Lord, for buffeting me right there. And teach patiently, endure evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. For, listen to this, God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil. Look at this, after being captured by him to do his will. And I'm just going to give you a little theology in that sometimes people think that, well, once I'm saved, that the enemy can have no influence and have nothing to do with my life. Not true. You can be born again, filled with God's Holy Spirit, talk in a multitude of tongues, and the enemy can still come and take your mouth over sometime. I should hear some better amens. But what does God's word say? They may come to their senses. They may escape the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do the devil's will, not God's will. Romans 12:9, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. This is what it means to live for God. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. There's a novel idea. Don't be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. How can I be a blessing? How can I be kind? Seek to show. How can I do that? Begin to live for God now. And then another thing that I was just reminded of is to make every effort to be a part of the family of God. This is so important in our lives. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Do you know what happens when you hear the word of God spoken, preached? It penetrates our hearts. It transforms our lives. It cleans up our thought life. Some of you come in with some jacked up thoughts. But when you hear God's word, it pushes them out. Come on, can you say amen to me on that today? It encourages the discouraged. It inspires God's people to love and serve Christ. It lights the way that God would have you to go. God, he'll show you a pathway. He'll show you a right way to go when you hear the preaching of the word of God, when you're in the house and in the family of God. Well, my church is on TV. Your church is on TV until hell breaks out in your home. And then you need a preacher or a man or a woman of God to come alongside of you and take you by the hand and help you through it. You can't do that through the TV. I never saw somebody carry the TV into the hospital with them when they needed somebody to lay hands on the sick, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. You need that. I need that. Even when Paul was facing his death, he revealed the importance of the preaching of the word of God to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Rebuke. Reprove, exhort with complete patience and teaching. It's something that you and I need in our lives to live the life that he has called you to do. When you're a part of God's family, it's important when you're challenged in life. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron. And let me tell you something, I've never sharpened a blade in my life where sparks haven't flown off from it. You'll be in the house of God and say, well, I don't like so-and-so, or they didn't do this, or I don't like this. Can I just help you this morning that is part of the plan of God to let that iron sharpen you a little bit? And maybe you sharpen somebody else? I was with coffee with a few guys this week, and I said, can I just use you? They said, yeah, absolutely. I was thinking about one of my closest friends today. I call him Dr. Jim Booty. There were times 15 years ago, man, him and I just grown like that. He was wrong and he couldn't understand it. You know, today, because him and I both made a decision, we're going to stick with it. We're going to push through this. You know what? It is a blessing to have him in my life today. Come on. Stand up, Jimmy. I just want everybody to see you. Come on. It's a blessing. God's family is important to us. His family is important to us to encourage one another. In Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. God's family is important because you'll discover what you have been created for. This is so important. Ephesians 2:10, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. And every one of us, not just me, every one of us, you have been assigned by God to do something that no one else can do. I was talking, another brother was in that same group, Paul McCowan. I said, can I use you? He says, well, yeah. I mean, what are they going to say when I ask them? They're going to say, sure. You know, when that man walked in this house, he was broken, undone. He didn't think that he had a chance at life. And now to see him up on the screen, standing next to his more than tanned wife, teaching one of the most important classes that the church, the first step. And if you haven't taken it, you need to see them and sign up and do it because it'll touch your life. It'll help you to understand what you've been created for. But that's what the house of God does. Stand up, Paul and Rebecca. I love you too. Stand up. Come on. Come on, give them a big God bless you. You know, because God just doesn't use everybody that's perfect. Can I hear an amen out of that? He doesn't look for perfect people. He looks for imperfect people that he can touch and change and revive and breathe life into and see them do what they've been created to do. I might just preach up here in a minute. You got to do that. And then lastly, whether you want to or not, you are going to leave a legacy. Whether you plan it or not, you're going to leave a legacy. You know, I love Casting Crowns. They have a song that they do. And Mark Hall, I don't want to leave a legacy. I want Jesus. And absolutely. We don't get up every day and we don't think, well, I'm going to do this because I want people to remember me. Of course I want them to remember Jesus. But you will leave a legacy. I've said this before. My dad looked at me one time when I was a young boy in a drunken stupor, and he pointed his dirty finger at me, and he said, I'll never leave you a penny. You know what the reality of that was? That's his legacy, because he never left me not one penny. He said, you'll work for everything that you ever get. You know what? That was true. But that's not God's word. See, the Bible says in Proverbs 13:22 that a good man leaves an inheritance not only to his kids, but to his kids' kids. And that means more than money. That means an inheritance that includes godly character, like integrity and trustworthiness and a love for God's way and a purpose in life that is bigger than anything that we could ever do on our own. A love for family and still godly family values in our children, a faith to believe God that he and always live for him, a faith that will stand in the midst of sorrow and of disappointment, a faith that when desperate times come to our lives, that we can turn and trust in a God that has never failed us before. And God says, I want you to instill that in the next generation. You will leave a legacy in your life. And I don't want it just for my kids. I want everybody to see it. Psalm 78:4, we will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generations the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. Speak to them. Tell them. Live for him. In Joshua chapter 4, I love the story. The Bible says, and he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you will let your children know. Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. I remember, I told this story before. I didn't tell it in the first service. I don't know, it must have been 6-7 years ago now. I'm sitting out in my side yard. I got all my grandkids lined up there. We're sitting out there in the morning. They stayed overnight. Campfire's going. They're laughing. They're in chairs. I can't even remember which one. It was probably Judah because she's out of the bunch. She's one of the most inquisitive. I said, Bobby, how did this all happen? And I begin to tell her how my wife's grandmother began to pray for her grandchildren to have godly men in their lives. And how when I met her, that Patty's grandma, Clara, began to pray for me. And I rejected it for so long. And then I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And how my father-in-law, when he passed from this life to the next life, that he left an inheritance to us. And I'm telling them, and I told them what my father left. Nothing. Only pain and hurtful memories. But I said, God, he's turned that around in my life. He's leaving something great for all of you kids. And one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, they begin to weep with me until it got down to Andrew. And he pulls a can of pop that he knifed out of the refrigerator and cracks it open. He says, what's everybody crying about? And then takes a big drink out of it. But I'm going to tell you, when the children ask, what do these stones mean? How did they get here? The legacy. And God wants you and I to learn some lessons from this miracle. That God demonstrated his love towards Joshua. And it didn't stop with Moses. See, the love and the anointing that is on my life, it just doesn't stop with me. It doesn't just stop with you. God told Joshua, I want you to have the priest carry the Ark of the Covenant into the River Jordan. And when they go into it, I will stop up the water and you'll pass on dry ground. But the same miracle that he did for them, he does for you and I in Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through rivers, they won't sweep over you. How many of you ever had to get in some deep water in your life? You felt like you were going to be swept away. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Oh, thank God for that. Come on, can we thank God just for that right now? And then the Lord, the second thing, the Lord reveals that his wonder-working strength will enable the people to face and to conquer every enemy in their lives. The Jordan River at most times of years, maybe 100 feet wide. I've been there twice, 3, 5, at the deepest 10 feet. But they were there at the spring of the year, and the banks, the water was overflowing. It was rushing, flood stage. Nothing but the hand of God could stop that. And the Bible says when the priest stepped into the water, that the water stopped and made it so they could walk across on dry ground. And Joshua, he took one from 12 different tribes. Said, I want you to get a stone. I want you to make a memorial. I want you to stack them up. And he told the nation and the nations of the earth that this is the place where God parted the waters in your life and mine. God wants to do that for you and I. These stones were set up not just to say, well, boy, God did great things back then. God sure did a good work back then. Just like Garrett was saying, yeah. All those people came. He opened blind eyes. He unstopped deaf ears. Some people that couldn't walk got up and walked. Well, yep, those were great times. But that's not what he wants a legacy. That's not what he wants a memorial for. He wants us to look back at that and say, what God did for Joshua, God can do for me. What God did in Indonesia, He can do in Batavia. What God did in that home, He can do in my home. Because He's no respecter of persons. He will take you and bless your life and reveal Himself to you and do miracles when you don't even know what's happening in your life. Come on today. And Psalm 145:4 says that one generation will commend your works to another and declare of your mighty acts. I was sitting there this morning. I was thinking, and Ryan just talked about it a few weeks ago. One year when we lived in Seattle, we had nothing. I mean, we had nothing, and Christmas was coming. And I was talking to God and saying, God, you got to do something. And I didn't think anything would happen. And I remember the kids were looking at me, and I'm saying, God's going to do something. And I didn't believe it, but I was saying it. And all of a sudden, on that Christmas Eve, that knock came at the door. I want you to know that when I said He was going to do something, it was like those priests standing in the water, stepping into the water. God's going to do this. And I'm talking to somebody today that you need to step out into the water. You need to trust that He's going to do something incredible in your life. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're saying, yeah, Pastor, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know. I have no legacy that I can leave in my life. My life's in shambles. I've messed things up. I've just made a mess of my life and other people's lives as well. And I was reminded this week about the story about Samson. How he's in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say that? He's in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. And although God is in you and He'll direct you, He's not going to tell you. He'll tell you don't go there, but it's not like He's going to put a chain around you, pull you out. You're born with a free will. Samson, you know the story. He was born with the vow of a Nazarite on his life. The Bible says that no razor shall come to his head. That was one of the stipulations. He had supernatural strength like none other. And he met this woman that just wanted to do him over. Let me tell every man in this house, there's nothing that can mess your life up than the wrong woman. Put a guard over your life. He didn't. The Bible says that she got to his heart and he told her where that secret lied. And the knight cut his hair off. And the Bible says that when the Philistines come to get him that time, he had no strength. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. Oh, that's a frightening statement to me. The Bible says that the Philistines, immediately they seized him, they beat him. The Bible says they gouged his eyes out. They bound him with bronze shackles. And they sent him grinding in a grain mill. In prison, round and round he went. But something amazing. You think about lost legacy. You think about destroyed life. You see, my dad, if he was alive today, he would know Jesus. He would know Jesus. If he was here today, he would not leave. If I had to put my armor on him, sometimes I've had to do that with people. I've had to collar them. So you're giving your life to Christ now, whether you want to or not. The Bible says they're going to have a big party. They're going to use Samson. They're going to denigrate him more. And they led him into that Colosseum. But the Bible says in Judges 16:22 that the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Aren't you thankful that God will give you another chance when you make a mess up? His hair began to grow back again. And the Bible says that as he got in that, he said, put one hand on one pillar and another on another. And he prayed this prayer. He said, Sovereign Lord, remember me and strengthen me. Just one more time. I believe I'm contending for somebody's heart and their life today. You made so many mess ups in your life that you think that's going to define me. Can I tell you today that the last day of Samson's life defined him, where he destroyed more of the enemy in that one act than he had all through his life. God can change your life. He can redeem you for a purpose because you're going to leave a legacy. I got all this from the death of a basketball star. But it's something that you and I need to remember, to be reminded of, because we get going so much and get running in so many directions that we forget about the importance of who and what we are and why we're here. Just close your eyes, bow your head with me. I just want to pray with you. I want those that are going to pray at the altar. I believe that many are going to come forward this morning. You just want another start. You want your hair to begin to grow again. You, maybe for some of you, you've never given your life to Jesus. He wants you to do that today. You will never find the greatness of your life until you surrender to Him. I'm talking to some dads today. I'm talking to some moms today. It's got a purpose and a plan for you. You will leave a legacy. What will you be remembered for? I pray it is for Jesus. Spirit of the living God, as only you can do, touch every life. Lord, pull our hearts towards you. Pull our hearts towards you today to live for you. To leave the old life behind and to begin to live for you like we have never lived before. I want your eyes closed. Everyone closed. No one looking around. Nobody in the sound booth. No ushers. No on the front here. No prayer people. No one. I don't want no one looking around. This is between somebody and God today. Maybe you're lacking the courage to get out of your seat and come down here, but maybe you'll just say, Pastor Marty, will you pray for me where I am at today? Just raise your hand up. I want to pray for you. Raise it up. Don't be afraid. He wants to help you. He wants to touch your life. God, you saw these hands. Give them life and give them hope and give them the purposes that you have called and created them to live by, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I praise you and I give you all the glory. Come on, and everybody said a great amen. When do you receive that today? From the Lord. I love you. You need prayer. Some of you that raise your hands, you do have the courage to step out of your seat and come down here and let somebody pray for you. When two are gathered together, something happens. When two agree on something, it shall be done for my Father in heaven. Let God move on your heart today. Let Him have His way in your life today. And then before you leave, we've got a table set up back there. Listen, there's a special dispensation today. That you can have some sugar love at that table. Those round little donuts are up there. They're calling your name. Do you hear them? Do you hear them? Don't run out fast. Somebody may need you today. I love you. Go in His grace today. If you need prayer, come on down. Let these folks pray over you today. God bless you.